Well, hello, DUMC family. It is an honor to be back with you once again. You know, I say family because the first time you come as a guest, but when you come back the second time, come on, you already know you are family. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, for this invitation to speak to your congregation. And guys, I just have to tell you, it's an honor to be with you virtually. But come on, I really wish I was there with you in person for two reasons. One, because I love you. But second of all, I could really use some nasi lemak right now. I could really eat some beef rendang. I could have some fish head curry. And let's not forget the king of all fruits, the fruit of heaven. Yes, I could use a little bit of durian in my life right now. But since I can't be with you physically, I will settle for being with you virtually. You know what? I was with you just this last year. And when I was with you at the end of 2019, we were preparing for this Impact 2020 is one of the things that I was speaking on when I was there with you. And we were coming out of Acts chapter 27. We were talking about when Paul was on his way to Rome, and man, he encountered the storm and the shipwreck and the snake bite, and he went through some adversity. And come on, how many of you know in 2020 we've been going through some adversity? How many of you have gone through some storms, experienced some shipwrecks, and had to shake off some of those snakes that are coming out? But man, can I just tell you what I love about Pastor Chris, what I love about DUMC, what I love about his leadership team there, is that, man, they pivoted. They moved from Impact 2020 and going into the nations of the world into Impact Now. You know, I love that because if you think back to Acts 27, Paul was on his way to Rome. It was we could have called the campaign Impact Rome, but come on, whenever he got shipwrecked, he ended up in a place called Malta, and he didn't wait on Impact Rome to come. No, he said, no, we're going to Impact Now. We're going to impact the place that we are. We're going to impact Malta. And actually, man, he prayed for one of the important people there on the island. They get saved. The gospel gets preached. I mean, like amazing things happen there at Malta. Why? Because he wasn't just focused on where he planned to go. Come on now. He was focused on where he was. And that's what I love about this Impact Now campaign. I love the acrostic for now, and that's no other way. Come on, there is no other way but now, because now is all we have. Let's don't wait until we can go to the nations. No, let's make an impact now. And DUMC, that's what you have done. Pastor Chris was sharing some statistics with me. Over 15,000 people have been served during this time of COVID-19. You've continued your street ministry, helping those who are homeless, making sure that people have food to eat. Hey, can I just commend you right now and clap for you and say, hey, job well done. And I know you are not finished yet, making an impact right now. I want to talk to you today about how do we make an impact on business. More specifically, let me give you the title for my message today, and that is use your gift. Come on, use your gift. If you're watching right now, come on, type that in the chat. Just say, use your gift. Come on, use your gift. If you're watching with a family member right now, come on, look them in the eye. Tell them, use your gift. Come on, God gave you a gift and he gave it to you for you to use it. You know, I believe that this message can change the trajectory of your life. I believe that God can open your eyes today to see what you have never seen before. I believe that this message today can increase and enhance the impact that DUMC can make right there locally and globally all around the world. We're going to go into Romans chapter 12. We're going to read a few verses together, and I believe that God is going to do something significant in our lives today. Romans 12, starting in verse 1, the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I love what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I am pleading with you. I am begging you. Give your lives completely to God. Notice he doesn't say, give your Sundays to God. He doesn't say, give your prayer time to God. No, he says, give your lives, give your everything and your every day to God, for this is your worship. You see, we make a mistake sometimes as Christians and we compartmentalize our lives and we say, okay, we have a work life, we have a family life, we have a spiritual life, but the truth is that we just have a life. We just have one life and we have to make that life holy. So what does that mean? That means that your work can be holy because you declare your work holy. Holy means it was just set apart for God. It's just declared holy for as unto the Lord. And you can say, everything I do it for the purpose and the glory of God. You can make your work holy. You can worship God with your work. Sure, you should worship God with your words, but don't just limit your worship of God with your singing or with your words. No, you can worship God through your work. And then I love what Paul says. He says, hey, look, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't get caught up in the pattern of this world. Instead, let God transform you. See, that's the key word. You have to let God transform you. How does God transform you? He transforms you by changing the way that you think. You see, there are some mindsets, there are some attitudes, there are some traditions that God needs to get out of our lives, that God needs to change. Why? So that we could learn to know what His will and purpose for our lives really is. Now, continuing on right here in Romans chapter 12, we go into verse 4, and Paul writes and he says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Now, notice he says, each part of the body has a special function. It's not just the heart and it's not just the lungs, but each part of your body has a special function. And it's the same way in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionary who has an important part. No, it is everybody. And you need to know that includes you. That includes you. You have a special and important part to play in the body of Christ on the earth. And he continues on. He says, we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We belong to each other because we need each other. You need me and I need you. And working together, we can carry out the mission and the calling of God on the earth. In verse 6, he says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Notice that. He's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, I want you to notice that the Bible does not say that God has given you each gifts for doing certain things well within the four walls of the church, or God has given you certain gifts that are only active whenever people come together in a prayer meeting. No, that's not what it says. It says that God has given you these gifts, and these gifts should not be limited to the church building. They should not be limited just to the gathering of the saints. No, God gave you these gifts to be used. God didn't give you these gifts for one day a week. He gave you these gifts so you could use these gifts every day of the week. Remember, There is no church life and work life. It's just life, and God wants you to use these gifts every single day. Now, there is a phrase that started floating around the church world over a decade ago, and that is this term, this phrase called marketplace ministry. Marketplace ministry. And when we say marketplace ministry, what many of us think of that have heard that phrase, what we think of is using ministry to influence the business world. It's just letting your light shine into the business world. It's letting people see your good deeds. But what if marketplace ministry is not just using ministry to influence the business world? What if it is also using the business world to influence ministry? What if it's not just letting your light shine into the business world, but what if it is using the business world to influence ministry? What if marketplace ministry was also about funding kingdom projects to make a kingdom impact all over the world? What if it was what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 25 when he said, "You will stand before me and I will say, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick, you cared for me." And you say, "But Lord, I never saw you hungry. I never saw you thirsty." And Jesus says, "But whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me." You see, what if marketplace ministry was bigger than just letting my light shine in my office complex, but it was actually using the resources of the business world to fund kingdom projects in nations around the world so that when we stood before God, God would say, "Hey, thank you for feeding the hungry. Thank you for giving fresh water to those who were in need. Thank you for caring for those orphans. Thank you for doing this." And God would say, "When you did it for the least of these, you were doing it for me." You see, he gave you these gifts so that you could do certain things well, not just so you could do spiritual things well. It says he gave you the gifts so you could do certain things well. And we don't need to put God in a box. Can I tell you, God doesn't want to be in a box? And you know what else? God doesn't want his gifts in a box. But when we put his gifts in a box, what we are doing is we are putting God in a box. And come on, we know we can't put God in a box. We know that God is bigger than our box. And so I want you to see in the scripture that the gifts he gave you weren't just for you to do spiritual things well, but he gave you gifts so that you could do certain things well. You know, as we open up the Bible and we begin to read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we read this word that there was the Lord's favor on certain people. The Lord's favor. And I'll say, what does favor mean? Let me just give you a definition for the word favor. It means God's divine assigned advantage for your success. God's divine assigned advantage for your success. That is the Lord's favor. And part of God's favor on your life is giving you gifts that will help you flourish in your life. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 16, reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." Come on, that's what we have in Christ. Favor upon favor, grace upon grace, gift upon gift. Come on, God has given us these gifts so that we might live in his super abundance. Come on, isn't that what Jesus came to do? To give us the abundant life? John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that you might have the abundant life." Jesus didn't say, "I came so you could have an average life." He said, "I came so you could have the abundant life," so that you could have this favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing. And God wants us to use these gifts. But before we use these gifts, he wants to change the way we think about these gifts. Come on, before we can use them well, we've got to think about them well. God wants to transform the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we think about our gifting, and the way we even think about how He can use this gift that He gave us. Because whenever we begin to change the way that we think about that, this, here's what begins to happen. We begin to believe that more is actually possible. We begin to believe that maybe God can do even greater things because He gave me this gift. Maybe I can make a greater impact because I've got a divine God-given gift on the inside of me. It is the favor of God. It is God's divine assigned advantage for my success. And when I begin to use this gift for His kingdom and His glory, now all of a sudden everything begins to expand. And the possibilities begin to grow on what I can accomplish in my life. Now, if we're going to do that, we got to make sure we have the right attitude. I talk a lot about attitude, and I define attitude this way. The attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Attitude, it is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. An attitude is a thought life that you've settled into. It is emotions that you have settled into when it comes to thinking or feeling about a certain thing. That could be your past, your present, or your future. About someone, that could be about yourself, a family member, God. You have settled into a way of thinking and feeling about someone or something. Now, here's what I know God wants to do is that God wants to change our attitude. And why does God want to change our attitude? God wants to change our attitude so He can increase our aptitude. He wants to change our attitude so He can increase our aptitude. He wants to increase our capacity. He wants to increase what is possible because we cannot elevate our life until we elevate our thinking. So our thinking has to change. We have to change the way we think. We've got to be renewed in our mind. We've got to begin to think different thoughts so that God can transform our lives. And as we begin to experience this change in our attitude, God begins to increase our aptitude. But why does God want to increase our aptitude? Because as He changes our attitude and increases our aptitude, then He can enhance the magnitude of the impact that we can make. See, you have to see this. But before we move on, you've got to see this. God wants to change your settled way of thinking. He wants to change the way you think about Him. He wants to change the way you think about yourself. He wants to change the way you think about the gift that He gave you. He wants to change the way you think about your part in the body of Christ. He wants to change all of those things. Why? Because He wants to expand your capacity. He wants to expand what's possible. Why? Because He wants to change the magnitude of the impact that you can make in this earth. And if you don't change your thinking and elevate your thinking, then God cannot elevate your life to where He wants it to go. It's attitude, it's aptitude, but the end result is the magnitude of the impact that God wants you to make. I want to give you just quickly four action steps to use your gift to impact business. These can be in your family as well. These are just lessons for impact. But today we're talking specifically about business. Four action steps you can use to use your gift. Here's the first one. See opportunity. See opportunity. You see, before I can seize the opportunity, I have to see the opportunity. I cannot do anything with opportunities that I do not see. No, I have to see the opportunity so I can seize the opportunity. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, in the Message version of the Bible, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they will stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. If you cannot see what God is doing, you are going to find yourself continually stumbling and missing what God is trying to do in your life and through your life. But it says, for those that attend to this, for those that catch the vision, they are the ones who are most blessed. I mean, after all, Jesus even said to his disciples, he says, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have eyes but fail to see?" You see, we must be people that see. We must be people that have a vision. When we talk about vision, what are we really talking about? We're talking about a mental image of what the future will or could be like. Come on, you got to have a vision of what your future will and can be like. Now, here's a common response when I start talking to people about vision and seeing opportunity. And people say, but Philip, I'm just not a visionary. You know, I'm just not a big dreamer, right? And when we think of dreamers and we think of big visionaries, this is what we tend to think of, definitely in the business world. We tend to think of entrepreneurs. We tend to think of those who are radical risk takers who step out into nothing and create something. And we're like, Philip, that's just not me. I'm not wired that way. I don't really have that in me. But can I tell you that vision is not just for entrepreneurs? Vision is not just for startup companies. No, it can exist within the construct of your current company that you're working in right now. Let me show you how this works. You can have a vision of how to improve things. You can have a vision for how to make things more efficient. You can have a vision for how to decrease unnecessary expenses. You can have a vision for how to increase profits. You can have a vision for how to hire better employees. You can have a vision for how to build a healthier company culture. You can have a vision. You can imagine. You can see what this can be. You can see what this would be like if you just made these changes. You see, you don't have to just be an entrepreneur. No, instead, you can take that entrepreneurial type mindset, a vision mindset, and bring it within your company, and your company can get better because you see opportunity. I want you to think about this. What would happen if when everyone else saw a problem, you saw a possibility? What would happen if when everyone else saw an obstacle, you saw an opportunity? What would happen when other people look at things and they say, there's just no way this is going to improve. There's no way that this is going to work. There's no way that this can get any better. But instead of seeing the problem and instead of seeing the obstacle, you simply saw the possibility and you saw the opportunity and you started using the gift that God gave you, that gift to serve, that gift of kindness, that gift of leadership, that gift of teaching, and you started using that gift. You saw the opportunity, and when you saw the opportunity, you seized the opportunity by using your gift to solve a problem, not perpetuate a problem. Come on, what would change if you started seeing the opportunity and then using your gift as the answer in that situation? You see, we got to start seeing the opportunity. But here's the second thing we have to do. We have to serve people. We see the opportunity, but then we have to serve people. You see, business should never be about taking from others. It should always be about giving to others. Business is not transactional. No, business is relational. Come on, we have to put people over profit. Come on, this is what the business world is talking about right now. They are talking about how you can't just focus on the profits. Now, sure, you need to pay attention to the profits or you're not going to have a business to serve and take care of people. But we must be willing to put people over profit. And did not Jesus model this for us? This idea of servant leadership? I mean, we could even go back, say, before Jesus even got here, God was modeling this. John 3:16, right, says, "For God so loved the world that God gave." Come on, we will never be more like God than when we give. God loved the world so much. He didn't just say he loved the world. He gave because he loved the world. And then Jesus comes into the world and we see Jesus model this attitude and heart of the Father. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give, his life as a ransom for many." You see, the better we serve our boss, the better we serve our employees, the better we serve our coworkers, the better we serve our customers and our clients, the better things will turn out for us, especially in the long run, because that is the kingdom way that we would serve other people. I love what Zig Ziglar says, the motivational speaker and thought leader. He said, "You can have everything in life you want if you will just help other people get what they want." Well, what's he saying? He's saying if you will just serve other people, if you will serve them with compassion, if you'll serve them with humility, if you will serve other people, you will be rewarded in the back end. You see, people want to do business with those who put the customer's needs before their own needs. That's what keeps the customer coming back, when you prefer them over yourself. People want to feel valued. People want to be loved. People want to be appreciated. People want to be cared for. And as Christ followers, shouldn't we be the best at this? Come on, DUMC. I'm talking to you right now because I know one of your mission and value and vision statements is serve people. Serve people. That is at the very heart and the core of your mission and vision of your local church, to serve people. We ought to be leading the way in serving those people that are around us. You see, this is an action step that we have to take. So we have to see the opportunity and we have to serve people. And then we have to do the third thing, and that is to seek growth. Seek growth. Now, I'm not talking about company growth. I'm talking about personal growth. I want you to hear me write this. I want you to write this down. I want you to commit this to memory. Professional gains demand personal change. Professional gains demand personal change. I must be willing to change and grow and develop if I want to see advancement in my professional life, in my business life. I've got to grow as a person. And the reason I say seek growth is because if you don't seek growth, it's not going to happen. We have a house habit here at our church, and we have 12 house habits, and one of those house habits, the habit of our house, is we grow intentionally. And this is what I tell our church all the time. You will never grow automatically. You will only grow intentionally. So if you are not seeking growth, then guess what? You are not growing. You see, this is why I have a coaching business. I coach business executives, entrepreneurs, pastors, and leaders, because you don't just go to the next level, you only grow to the next level. Come on, everybody wants to go to the next level, but you don't go to the next level just because you wished you would get there. You have to grow to the next level by working to get there. And that's why I have a coaching business, because I want to help people grow in their business. I want to help them grow on the inside to become everything that they can be, so that their life can make the greatest impact that it can make for the purpose and the glory of God. Now, whenever you say, "I'm going to seek growth," what does this look like? This looks like reading books, listening to podcasts, attending seminars and webinars. It looks like finding a mentor. It looks like even hiring a coach, somebody like me who can take your life to the next level. See, here's why we need this, because there are three types of people in the world. There are three, and man, I think 2020 has really has really made this evident. There are three types of people in the world, three types of people here in 2020. There are people who are groaning through 2020, people who are going through 2020, and then people who are growing through 2020. There are the people who are groaning through 2020, and they are complaining, and they are whining, and they are griping. They are griping about this and griping about that. They are complaining, and they are groaning through 2020. Then there's other people, they're just going through 2020. They just have their hands in their pockets, and they're just walking through 2020. You know what? They're just walking with the attitude of like, man, I hope things get better. Come on, I mean, you know, hope is not a strategy. Come on, I just hope my marriage gets better. I just hope business turns around. I just hope I can stay on budget. Hope is not a strategy. Hope better be a part of your strategy, but hope better not be the entirety of your strategy. No, we cannot groan through 2020, and we can't just be people that go through 2020. We have to be people who grow through 2020. We've got to be people who are learning lessons. We got to be people who are making changes. We have to grow through this season. You see, just because you believe in God doesn't mean that you are going to grow into everything that He created you to be. Well, I want you to hear that. Just because you believe in God, just because you have professed faith in the name of Jesus, that does not mean that you are going to grow into everything that God created you to be. Can I tell you? I don't need to tell you because you know this is true. There are Christians right now who are groaning through 2020. They are griping and complaining and whining. There are also Christians right now who are going through 2020. They're just hoping that things get better. They are just trying to live in denial and oblivious of what's happening in the world. They're just going through 2020, but we don't want to be those people. We want to be people who are growing through 2020, and growing is a choice. Growing is a choice. You see, you have to learn how to prosper. You don't just get to prosper in your soul, prosper in your mind, prosper in your marriage, prosper in your family relationships, and even prosper in your business. No, growth is a choice, and you have to learn how to prosper. When we talk about prosper, we're talking about that successful, thriving, and flourishing condition. Come on, you have to learn how to prosper, and professional growth only comes with personal growth. The more that you grow personally, the more that you can grow professionally. So if we are going to use our gifts to impact business for the purpose of the kingdom, we have got to seek personal growth. But it takes us to the fourth thing. After we see the opportunity, after we serve people, after we seek growth, then we get to the fourth thing, and that is seed the kingdom. We seed the kingdom. You see, the more you see opportunities and the better you serve others, the more you grow as a person and the more you develop as a company or as a business, then the more seed you are going to have to sow into the kingdom. The more opportunities you see and you use your gifts to seize those opportunities, the more people that you are able to serve and to help them get what they need and what they want, you're going to get more of what you need and what you want. The more you grow as a person, the more you're going to grow in your profession. And when you do those things, you're going to gather more resources. You're going to get more finances. And you are doing it for the purpose of seeding the kingdom. You see, you have to change the way you think about this whole process, because many times we've been trained maybe to think, well, I don't want to achieve anything. You know, it's not about me. It's about God. And we have these thoughts about money. Well, God doesn't want me to have money. And we say money is evil. No, money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Money is neutral. Money becomes whatever you are. And if you are good on the inside and money is in your hands, you will use money for good. But if you are evil on the inside and you get money, you're going to use it for evil. You will use money for whatever you are. We've got to change the way that we think about this, because doesn't God want to advance his kingdom? Doesn't God want people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Doesn't God want freshwater wells to be built in place where they do not have fresh water? Doesn't God want people to have food and clothes on their back? Doesn't God want children to be rescued and cared for? Doesn't God want people to have education and opportunity? Yes, 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 and yes. And we play a part in that. And this is where we have to change our thinking to realize I'm not building this life for myself over here. Everything that I have is God's. Every day I have is God's. And I am doing holy kingdom work on a daily basis. And I am doing it for the glory and the purposes of God. So the more finances I get, it means the more finances I can give and seed into the kingdom. DUMC, let me tell you, I know you are going to impact the nations. I know Pastor Chris has a vision for what he wants to do in those nations surrounding you. I know he has a vision for what he wants to do even in your own country. I know the leadership team of DUMC is wanting to impact the community like never before, but I also know what that takes. It takes finances. It takes resources. And when you begin to use your gift with a proper kingdom mentality, there is more seed that goes in the ground. And do you know what happened when more seed goes into the ground? More harvest grows up. And this is how we play a part. When we use our gift, not to build our kingdom, not to build our reputation, not to build our world, but we begin to do it so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go out into the whole world. You see, I believe that's why marketplace ministry is so much bigger than you just being a blessing to your coworker, and it's about you being a blessing to another country. That's why I believe marketplace ministry, it has to be bigger than you just shining your light on a Monday, and it's you being able to shine your light into East Malaysia because you were allowing God to expand your capacity so that you could give more seed into the ground so that we could see a harvest come up in places that we have never seen a harvest come up before. You see, marketplace ministry is deciding that you want to increase your income so you can increase your impact. Not increasing your income so you can just have nicer things. And listen, if you have nice things, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice car or a nice house, but the purpose of me increasing my income is to increase my impact. You see, and we must begin to do that now. We must impact now. We must begin to change our thinking now. We must let God transform us now. We must begin to see opportunities now. We must begin to serve people like we've never served people now. We must begin to seek growth and seek growth now so that we can seed the kingdom for a future impact. You see, God has given you these gifts. I want you to think about this as we close. God has given you these gifts. God has given you these gifts. So these gifts are divine. These gifts are holy. These gifts are spiritual. And when you begin to use the gift that God gave you, when you begin to use that gift as worship back to Him, and as God begins to bless your worship, as you start using that gift to give Him glory and to give Him worship, and God blesses your worship, God will bless your worship in such a way that God will allow you to build the kingdom like you've never built the kingdom before. You see, I am coming with this message right now, this impact in this Impact Now series, because I'm trying to stir something in you. You know, I believe there's some of you right now that you've been teetering on the fence. You've been on the fence about going and starting your own business, maybe starting a little side job, a little side hustle, if you would. And you've been contemplating that, maybe launching out, doing an entrepreneur venture. You've been, I don't know. I believe for some of you, this is the moment that God's saying, now is the time. For some of you that just have looked at that gift and thought, I don't really have much of a gift. I thought the gifts were for the pastors. I thought the gifts were for the evangelists. I thought the gifts were for the missionaries. I thought the gifts were for the teachers in the church. No, I thought the gifts. No. You have a gift. God gave you a gift. How do I know that? Because you're a part of the body of Christ. And according to the scripture, if you are a part of the body, you have a special function, which means God gave you a special gift. I am challenging you like never before. Use your gift, DUMC. Use your gift. See the opportunity that you have never seen before and seize that opportunity by using your gift. Serve people with that gift of kindness. Serve people with that gift of prophecy, seeing things that other people don't see. Serve people through that leadership. Serve people through that gift of kindness. Serve people through that gift of wisdom. Serve people through these gifts that God has given you. Serve them like they have never been served before, and begin to seek growth. Begin to desire to grow and develop on the inside. Begin to grow like you have never grown before. Begin to expand your capacity so that God can expand the magnitude of your impact. If you will commit to do those things, I promise you, more resources will fall in your hand, which means more seed can go into the soil of the work of the kingdom of God, which means together we can see a harvest like we have never seen before. Come on, I want you to impact your business world, but listen, I want you to use the business world to impact the kingdom of God for the glory of God, to do the work of God in the earth today. Come on, I believe right now in this moment that there is a fire burning. I believe that something is stirring on the inside of you, and you've been hesitant maybe to dive into this, but you know now, wait a minute, it's not about me. It's not for me. It's for the kingdom of God. God wants to put it in your hand so that you can give it away so that the world will never be the same. Come on, will you pray with me right now? Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. God, we just lift our eyes to you right now. And God, we just say thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for DUMC. Thank you for Pastor Chris and his leadership. Thank you for our pastoral team and the administrators who are carrying out so much of this work right now during these challenging and uncertain times. Thank you that we as a church body are making an impact right now. And God, we want to impact the business world, but even more than impacting the business world, we want to see the business world impact the work of the kingdom of God. So Lord, we want you to use the gift that you have given us. Come on, right now in this moment, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, God has given you a gift. What is the gift that God has given you? What is that gift? And will you use that gift? Will you use that gift as worship to him on a daily basis, as you work for him, as you declare your work to be holy? And Father, we thank you that as we use this gift, our work becomes worship to you. And not only does our work become worship to you, but God then we will find more resources in our hands so that we can seed the kingdom work that is happening all over the world, that we might see a harvest like we have never seen before. God, we give you praise and glory right now for that harvest, the harvest that is going to come as these mission teams go into these other nations of the world, as these mission efforts take place, God, all over Southeast Asia. Father, we thank you that this seed is going to fall on fertile soil, and we're going to see a harvest of change, a harvest of salvation, a harvest of joy and peace. We're going to see a harvest come up in these places because we were willing to put good seed into the ground. And Father, we thank you for that. And God, we ask that you would use us to make an impact right now. Use us, God, to make an impact right now for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, DUMC, thank you so much once again. It's truly a joy, truly an honor, truly a privilege to have the opportunity to minister this word to you. And I want you to take what you have heard today. I want you to put it into practice every day. And I want you to trust and believe that God is going to begin to bless the work of your hands in a supernatural way so that you can be a supernatural blessing into the work of the kingdom that is taking place all over the world right there through the ministry of DUMC. Hey, God bless you, and I cannot wait to be with you in person again soon, because we would be going for a really good meal right about now. And so, hey, I can't wait for that time. But until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you. And I'll see you soon. God bless you, DMC.